I'm someone who loves trying out different makeup looks, but doesn't really wear much on a daily basis, so I like to focus on making sure I have high quality staples. And whether you like a fresh face, full glam, or somewhere in between, you've probably seen Thrive Cosmetics Viral Tubing Mascara. I've certainly seen it everywhere. You know, the one in the turquoise tube? So that mascara, along with all of Thrive Cosmetics' beauty products, are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free, which I look for in makeup, and they've got excellent quality to match. And something I didn't know from all the mascara videos I've seen is that for every product sold, Thrive Cosmetics donates either that same product, another product that is needed more, or a monetary donation. They've worked with over 500 nonprofits to help with a wide range of causes like supporting cancer survivors, people experiencing homelessness, education access, and so much more. Knowing that makes me feel even better about using their products. And I do enjoy using them. Like I said, I like having high quality staples, and so my favorites are products that are multi-purpose, like the Brilliant Eye Brightener. It comes in a bunch of colors, and I like using them as eyeliner, eyeshadow, and even highlighter. Thrive Cosmetics is luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/thrive. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS, .com/thrive for 20% off your first order. Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Hello and welcome back to Thanks for Coming In. I'm your host, Jillian Clare. Guys, I wasn't sure that I was going to have an episode this week. To be completely honest, I have been going through some personal stuff with one of my rescue dogs, Tala. I've had her for about 6 years. She's 11 and she was just diagnosed with cancer. So I've been, you know, on the more depressed and sad side of things lately. And I wasn't sure that I'd have it in me to do an interview, but my friend Brian agreed to come on, and it was nice to just talk to a friend for a bit. As far as the pupper goes, she has surgery scheduled for November 1st. I have a GoFundMe if you have an extra dollar or two, because it's real expensive, and I'm a broke artist doing this podcast for free and for the fun of it. GoFundMe is on my Instagram. If you can't donate, that's totally fine. And I feel you, because these are weird times and a lot of us are still out of work. But if you can just share it with your friends and family, that would be super helpful. It sucks, man. I'll never understand why dogs don't live as long as humans. It just sucks. If you know me, I'm obsessed with my dogs. So it's been a bit of a rough one. But today on the show, we have my friend Brian Beacock. You've probably heard his voice in a bunch of things. If you've ever watched anime, you know him. And he's done a lot of on-camera work as well and other things. And it was great to catch up with him. I love that I get to do this and talk to people every week. It's proven to be very helpful in this pandemic world. So here's my conversation with Brian.
Hello. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. I'm great.
It's actually cooling down in LA, which I'm excited about.
Yeah, it's starting to depress me, though, because clouds and rain depress me. So I'm not prepared for that.
You're not the person to sit at home in, like, your sweats and watch the rain?
No, as much as I'm a pumpkin spice latte person, I'm not an autumn winter person at all.
Oh, see, I love it. I can just really delve into my own depression.
Well, there's plenty of material for that.
Ain't that the truth? What have you been doing during quarantine? Anything fun?
Yeah, I mean, a couple fun things. I am mainly now taking care of my roses in the backyard, which sounds so lame and domestic, and it's not me, but they're living. And so that's really a first for me. So I'm doing that. And I'm doing a lot of like filming location scouting, going around Los Angeles and seeing, opening title credits from 70s and 80s TV shows. I went to the Ratchet location, the hospital from Netflix's Ratchet. And it's stupid, but it takes up my time and it's fun. And I take photos and, you know, it's Instagram fodder. So there you go.
What's your favorite place you've seen?
I was really excited about the Thriller House, of course. And then there's an old movie with William Catt called House. William Catt, of course, was in Greatest American Hero. And it's all about this haunted house. And I found it. I think it's out in San Gabriel or something. And that was really exciting. And of course, you know, a lot of these houses, like the E.T. house or the Poltergeist house, people are used to people coming in front of their houses and taking photos and stuff. But I'm still really sensitive about it. I'm very respectful of people.
Yeah, didn't they have to put like a gate outside of the American Horror Story house or something? Because so many people were just crowding it.
They did. So that's why I got a big selfie stick so I can go over the gate.
Fuck your gate.
I did that one too.
I can do whatever I want.
Oh yeah, exactly. Right. This is my Instagram life.
God damn it. I gotta have
So I mean, that's kind of lame, but you know, I've been doing a lot of hiking and you know, went to Vasquez Rocks and Cabazon Dinosaurs and just a lot of stuff that you don't really do in LA because you're working.
Right.
And of course, I'm not doing that.
Yeah, I've been nesting. So you've done the exact opposite of me. I'm like, you can barely get me out of my house.
Is that right?
I'm just I'm the nester, man. You give me a couple days to just like be alone. And I'm so stoked.
Yeah, I normally am that way. And I am that way at night. I mean, I've watched so much television, so I don't sleep that much. But during the day, I try to get out. Although I haven't, I only wear shorts and tennis shoes. I haven't worn pants more than probably 7 days since
Don't
March.
Do it. I'm telling you, putting jeans back on after is just the worst. It's really bad.
Who shrunk my clothes?
Honestly, it's like little leprechauns came in and shrunk all of my clothes.
Yes, Krispy Kreme leprechauns.
So I want to tell the world how we met because I think it's kind of interesting and funny. And I think it's totally, you know, not something that's normal. So Brian and I did Grinchmas it was the first year of it. And I played,
I
played Cindy Lou Who and he played the Grinch.
Yes.
And it was great.
And it was universal. I mean, they did it for many years after that, but this was probably the most, well, maybe the most money they ever spent on it. It was the big to-do. And there were several Grinches and several Cindy Lou's. Mm-hmm. And I just remember, at least that first year, because I did it for several years, I just remember what a nightmare the makeup was. Because it was basically, it was the same makeup that Jim Carrey wore, you know, at 1/1,000,000th less, you know, the pay scale.
Right. I don't even know what that was.
Yeah.
I was too young.
And it was the full scleral, which is the full contact lenses, you know, not just the dot on your eye, full eyes, and just sweaty and cold and hot all at the same time. And I can't remember. You did the show, right?
I did the show. I did the parade. I did the meet and greet. I did the like little meet and greet that you do with Sandy, the dog.
Right.
And that was the first, that was the only year that they had actual minors be Cindy Lou. Isn't that right?
I think so. Because when I did the parade years later, I think it was 17 or 18 or 19 year old, you know,
they
short,
were like,
shorter
we can't
girls.
Deal with actual children anymore. See you later.
This is universal. We need to work you 20 hours a day, please.
Your work hours don't work for us.
Right.
But it was so cool because it was the first year and we had the real dog from the Grinch, which I always loved.
Right.
Her name was Sandy. I don't know if she's still around, but she was the best doggo. And then we had Jeffrey Tambor visit. We had a bunch of people from the actual movie visit, and I thought it was really special.
Yeah, I think it was that year that I did a special out at Hollywood and Highland with Ron Howard to reveal the new DVD or something of Grinch. And of course, you know, Jim Carrey's not going to do it. So no. They had me at the, yeah, so I was at some hotel on Hollywood Boulevard, you know, waiting to walk over to Hollywood Highland and do this big opening. That was fun. That was kind of exciting.
Yeah. I remember there was like some sort of like KTLA thing that I did too. And there's some sort of like VHS of that somewhere that I gotta find.
I'm sure. Yeah, I did the opening of the Grinch car at NASCAR somewhere in the Midwest. And I had to change clothes into the Grinch in this like storage paint closet or janitor closet. And I had to pee in the sink. Like it was just, I mean, really just top-notch class.
Oh, God. But you worked for Universal before that, right? How did you get involved in Universal work?
Yeah, so I'm from San Francisco and I moved to L.A. Mm-hmm. After I did Les Mis, the tour of Les Mis, and I couldn't get a job. I was just doing, you know, some movies and TV and stuff like that, but, you know, day jobs. And so I auditioned for Beetlejuice's Graveyard Rock and Review at Universal, which I had seen growing up as a kid. And so I was like, oh my God, I'm in the show that I grew up watching. How exciting is that? So I got cast and I did that for, well, I think all told, I worked at Universal for 15 years.
Wow.
Doing Beetlejuice, Fear Factor, Spider-Man, Shrek. I was the musical director for the Blues Brothers. I worked in the Mummy Maze. I did the special effects show. So I don't know where Grinch came.
Yeah.
But I had definitely already done.
I think it was 2001. But that's fun.
Oh, wow. Yeah. It's really a great job.
Every time I go there and I watch Waterworld, I'm like, I want to do that. And then I'm like, I can't swim to save my life. So I will die doing that.
Yeah, they're not wearing life vests.
No. So you did that. And then, I mean, you've had such an extensive career in voiceover and anime, and you've done like, mm-hmm. I mean, I was just looking online, you know, the best place in the world to get information. And I saw that you've done like 140 characters, and like, obviously I've known you for a long time, but most of the time you don't talk about that kind of stuff with friends just because we are all promoting something at some point. But I mean, 140 characters, that's so many, and you've just done so much. How did you even get into that world?
It's so funny because every time I do a convention, an anime or a voiceover convention, everyone's asking, you know, how do I get started? Mm-hmm. And I think this is typical that you could say the same thing. Like everyone's story of how they, quote, broke into the business is different.
Yeah.
And there's no one way to do it. And you can only steer people in certain directions. But for me, I was doing lots of theater in LA. Mm. And I did this one show called Fully Committed where it was a one-man show and I played 38 different characters.
Jesus.
No costume, no makeup changes, just all physicalities and voice. And at the time, Mary Elizabeth McGlynn, who was playing the Bride of Frankenstein and in Beetlejuice at Universal, had kind of like left to do other things and was still coming back and doing shows every once in a while. But she was directing the second season of Digimon, the anime.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and she saw me do this play. I think at that time I had taken it from the Coronet Theater in L.A. down to Laguna. Mm. And she saw me do it there, and she said, you know what? You're doing all these voices and stuff. I've known you for a while, but I didn't know you did this. I think you might be right for this character for this show. So I came in and auditioned for season 3 of Digimon to play Takato. And I had never seen anime before. I mean, the only anime I'd ever watched growing up was Speed Racer.
Right.
So I wasn't a Pokemon guy. I didn't know any of that stuff. It wasn't my thing. So I auditioned for it, and the audition was fine because I can't remember whether they just had you read copy or whether you had to actually sync to pitch to picture, you know, the original Japanese.
Yeah.
I can't remember. But I'm musical, and that kind of helps dubbing anime anyway. Mm-hmm. So I auditioned for it, and it must have been 3 months later that I got the call that I booked the show.
Oh, my gosh.
And yeah, of course. Always, right? And I got this lead in this show, and all of a sudden I'm starring in this show on Fox Kids, and I'm doing promotions, and literally, not really knowing what I was doing right. in that world. So I learned as I went, and it was from that job that I have worked in the business for 30 years.
So it totally just snowballed.
It totally snowballed because, you know, I was working for Saban Entertainment, mm-hmm. you know, and from Digimon 3, I got Digimon 4. And then that went to, I don't know, when Naruto and Bleach and all the other shows came along. But it's kind of a small, tight-knit community of anime and dubbing and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. So they just you get to know people. You get to know directors and engineers. And then auditions start coming your way. And
right.
and most of it was done without an agent. And it just kind of –
Hell yeah. Keep that fee to yourself.
Thank you very much. Well, I mean, if anyone who knows, like, anime is not going to change your world financially.
Right.
So you got to be on, you know, 6 or 7 or 8 shows a year, which happened. But it's that original animation that you really want to get, you know,
Got you.
The Family Guys and The Simpsons and all that
right,
stuff.
Right, right, right. I love anime. I love Miyazaki. I love.
Do you?
Yeah.
It's so funny. I don't watch it.
Really?
I mean, watch my own stuff.
I'm not a huge like TV show person, but I do love anime films. I do too.
I think absolutely.
There's something really special about them.
I agree. And I've done a few of those and I agree they're quite beautiful and symbolic and the music is always great. And yeah, I'll agree with
you. Yeah, they're always so deep. Like yeah. afterwards you're yeah. just like, how is that an animated film? Because I feel like I just got destroyed.
Yeah. Yeah. You're right.
You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten. As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system. So wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
So then the anime stuff, did that lead into the video games and all that kind of stuff? Because you've done a whole lot of those as well.
Yeah. So video games, a lot of the times are shoot-offs from the show. Like there's, you know, there's Digimon video games and Naruto and Bleach and all that stuff. And it's cool because you can die in a show. Like I died in Naruto several times, but the character's going to be in the video game. So like 2 years later, they're like, hey, we want you to come back and play Sakon or Nukon. And So that happens a lot. And then there's, you know, one-off games that I've done, you know, Fighter Pilot number 12. And so that happens. Video games are great. They pay well. They work you to death. You're doing all those fighting and killing efforts. And if you get a big game like some of the people do, you know, Silent Hill and stuff like that, they can really be a great little gig for you.
Last of Us. Do you play video games?
I don't. The last video game system I had was Atari.
Oh God.
I mean, come on. I can whoop your ass in Pong. So that's another thing. Like I was in this video game called Danganronpa, and I played Monokuma, this murdering panda bear. And it's hugely successful.
Amazing.
Oh, he's so great. he talks like this. Yeah, he's just really obnoxious, and he'll kill you. But
I love it.
But the fans love that character. But I've never played the video game, so I go to all these conventions, and they're like, "Hey, what about the part where you're like, I have no idea, I don't know."
And you're like, "I don't even know."
You tell me.
Console is that?
Yeah, exactly. But
what did that come out on? Was that Xbox?
Oh my God. Oh my God.
I feel like we need to get you a console so you can start playing games. Because the thing is that a lot of video games now are starting to look like films. And it's amazing. Well,
amazing and scary because, you know, they're using voice actors, of course, but they're not using real actors.
Right.
So that's scary.
True.
But I don't know. I'm such a kind of like addictive personality. And I don't mean like not drugs or food or anything like that, but TV for sure. Entertainment. And also, if there's something that I can't win, I'm going to play it until I win. So being the fact that I've never had a video game console, I will probably be stuck in my house for the rest of my life.
Yeah. I mean, I'm fairly new to it. Like, I always used to go over to my friends' houses and play video games.
Yeah.
But then last year, I finally broke down and I got a PS4. Mostly because I was like, I need to be able to watch Blu-rays because I still don't have a freaking Blu-ray player.
Yeah, neither do I. I've got my VHS. I'm looking at it right now. But
So tell me about, because you do a lot of on-camera work too. So tell me about that journey for you. Was that all at the same time as voiceover? I mean, are you juggling all of this simultaneously?
Yeah, I mean, I'm certainly like a jack of all trades, master of none guy. I've always been that. I've always had a lot of varying interests. When I first got to LA, that was my focus. So I'd been theater guy my whole life. I got the tour of Les Mis. I got my union card. So that brought me to LA and I could buy into SAG through equity. Through unions. Yeah. And so I booked this TV show. It was Fox Television's lowest rated TV movie ever, and it's called Based on an Untrue Story, and it was Morgan Fairchild and Diane Cannon and Ricky Lake. I mean, it was a parody of all the made for TV movies that were happening at the time, you know, starring Joan Van Ark, whatever. So Gilda Stratton over at Warner Brothers was the casting director, and I was auditioning for the role of a reporter, and I went in and she loved my long that's a terrible lead-in. She loved my long trench coat. It was a fabulous trench coat. I haven't had it for years, but it was winter and I was auditioning, and I still to this day think I got cast because of that damn coat. But
it's possible.
It's possible, right?
I swear I've gotten cast just because of my name sometimes,
right?
Because people are like, "Oh my God, I used to have a best friend named Jillian," and I'm like, "Great,
you're perfect.
Are you gonna hire me now?"
Yeah. So my first gig in LA, even before Beetlejuice, was a TV movie. And then I started booking a little bit more. I did NBC's The Rerun Show, where we took shows like Facts of Life and The Jeffersons and all that stuff and remade those in a parody style way. That was a summer.
Oh, funny.
Yeah, summer replacement on NBC. We came on right after Seinfeld, I think. And
that's a good spot.
It was great. Let's see, I did a really fun movie with Ryan Reynolds. I got to lay in bed with Ryan Reynolds.
I've seen those clips.
Crazy. Called Buying the Cow. Rent it today and I'll get 5 cents in residuals. But that was great. So yeah, I did a little bit here and there, still doing theater, still working in theme parks. And it's kind of the same for me now. Like I did a play in Boston about a year and a half ago and I'm doing voiceovers, and then you know, I worked on some movies with you as well.
Yeah.
To the Beat and To the Beat 2. And a couple things in Austin, some horror films. So I don't know. I don't know that I'm ever going to find focus.
Mm.
But
I mean, you're an amazing writer as well. Are you working on more? Are you, you know, gonna commit more time to that? Because I feel like there is so much that you have to say as well.
Well, thanks. Thank you. I appreciate that. And I do feel like there's so much more that I want to do in that respect. I've not found the time in this pandemic to find that kind of focus. It's a weird thing. There's so much time, but I find myself with no time. Mm. I'm also, you know, caring for my mom. She's 92 almost now. And so
your mom is so kick ass.
She's so great. She's great. But, you know, she's 92.
Right.
But she'll, you know, she'll do 300 sit-ups and walk 3 miles. And I mean, it's crazy.
She does more than I do.
It's
in
true.
Like 2 weeks.
Me too. But I drive back and forth to the Bay Area, to Los Angeles, and, you know, basically I'm taking care of two houses and stuff like that. So
yeah.
I there's a lot of writing that I do want to do. I'm supposed to be working on a book about a naked show that I did, Naked Boys Singing, in Los Angeles. Yeah, so I'm writing a book about that.
Fun.
Yeah, so I don't know. I don't know when the writing's going to happen, but it calls to me for sure.
You'll find it. It'll come back.
Yeah. It's going to come.
It'll come.
This is just a wonky time. I had such plans for this year. I was supposed to be in London right now doing a convention.
Ugh.
I know.
I would kill to be in London.
Right?
Somebody take me.
Take me to London.
Take me. So we've come to the part in the show where I like to have actors tell me bad audition stories or things they almost got that they were heartbroken they didn't get. Do you have anything that you want to share with us?
How much time do you have? You've come to the right place. Yes, I've got a couple. So really quick, like I auditioned for the tour of Hairspray to be the Corny Collins. I really wanted that. Flew to New York.
Oh, I could totally see that.
Yeah, this was years ago. So like I really fit the part. Flew to New York and it just wasn't right. But one of the biggest ones was back in high school. They had a talent contest for a contract with ABC.
Mm.
And I think I was either a junior or a sophomore in high school. I can't remember. But it was for a TV show called Maserati in the Brain.
Hmm.
Terrible. Is this young kid and like a really smart detective or something like that. So audition after audition, going to San Francisco, you know, mom driving me there, yada, yada. And it came down to, I think it was either two or three people, me and some other guy, and then Peter Billingsley from A Christmas Story.
Oh, wow.
And he booked it. Yeah. So, I mean, at that age especially,
yeah, it's
to
rough.
Go from regular high school life doing plays and stuff, and then all of a sudden you're in front of cameras. And so I did get a contract with ABC. I had it for a year. I was on contract with them where they could bring me out to do like Eight is Enough or Happy Days or whatever. And that stuff, it never transpired. It never happened. But it was an exciting time. But I think about it all the time, especially at Christmas when I see friggin' Peter Billingsley.
I hate this damn
I know.
Movie.
I had many, many, many auditions to be the singing voice for Aladdin for the animated feature.
Oh, yeah. What was that process like?
It was scary. It was scary and fun, but it was, I don't even know if the studio's there anymore. It was in Burbank or Glendale rather, at a Disney annex or whatever, a big music room. And I mean, I sang that friggin' I Can Show You the World song, whatever, A Whole New World over and over and over again. Really fun, really fun. And the guy that,
wow.
I mean, obviously the guy they got was friggin' amazing. A Broadway guy, I think.
Yeah.
But not the speaking voice. Those were two different people.
Right. They tend to do that
they
a lot.
They do, yeah.
Yeah. At least back in the day, like Pocahontas, they did that with and a couple others.
And now they're getting, you know, singers who are also actors and great voice actors who can do both. You know, Lea Salonga.
Who are also A-list stars.
Well, yeah, exactly. Yeah, I auditioned for Cars. I auditioned for Planes. I auditioned for Brother Bear. So it had a big
Oh my God, I was obsessed with Brother
Bear. Is
that
right?
Obsessed. I fell in love with Phil Collins after that.
Oh,
and I went through like this huge phase when I was like 12 where all I would listen to was Phil Collins. Bad.
That's really funny. That's kind of like a really like esoteric musician to be listening to at 12.
I know. Right? Well, because he did the music on Brother Bear. Right. And then I was like, oh my God, this is life-changing music. And so then I started listening. I got like his hits album from Target or something.
Susu Studio.
And yeah, basically Susu Studio all the time. True Colors, man. I was on like repeat. I think I even sang a Phil Collins song at like a Days of Our Lives convention or
okay,
something.
Okay, so you've never been a normal person is what you're telling me.
No, never. Never.
Oh my gosh, I love it. I love it.
Yeah, it's great. But yeah, that's crazy. Aladdin would have been super fun.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm sure you've got the same thing. There's a lot of jobs that you really hope you get. Some are creatively and career beneficial, some are just financially right. beneficial when
right.
you need them.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, right now I'm like, you want to throw anything at me? I am here.
I know.
I am here. I actually had an audition the other day to play 16 again.
I saw that.
I was like, I can do that. I can do that.
You totally can, which makes me so angry. But that's amazing. That's amazing.
It was funny. But it is challenging, though, to get back into that that mindset, especially right now with everything going on politically. My brain, it's like all of a sudden I'm getting like Wall Street Journal pop-ups while I'm trying to prepare for this audition. And I'm like, okay, no, leave 28-year-old me behind.
Right.
Must act young.
Right. Right.
Must act young. How do I do that?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's interesting. Have you had any fun auditions during quarantine?
I had a couple. I had a couple things that I had to do. One just a couple weeks ago for a Disney show that I thought I did really, really well, but apparently casting directors would say otherwise because I didn't get the job. but man, you know, like
I'm
going back and forth from my house to my mom's house, and I'm doing, you know, the huge setup with the green screen of the backdrop and the lights and all that stuff and the ring light and all that nonsense. So it's not the same anymore as just pointing a camera at yourself, although I suppose people are doing that, but I don't. You know, I want to make it as good as I can. And I'm really a going into the office kind of guy. I always have been, even for voiceovers, which started years ago where you would just submit auditions. And
I remember like even growing up for voiceovers, I'd go to a studio in Burbank, even if it was a self-tape.
Oh, yeah.
And have them record it and send it into the casting office.
Yeah, I used to go to my agents and they had, you know, a dedicated booth for that. And they would have an engineer who also served as a, you know, pseudo director. And it would just kind of help you get another set of eyes and ears on your audition as opposed to just like auditioning in this bubble and going, yeah, that's good. Send.
Yeah.
So
I've actually had a couple voiceover auditions lately. It's all been for that show that's on ABC that what is it? The emergency call show that they just started?
Oh, right. So not 911, but a new one.
Yeah, it's called Emergency Call. It's on ABC, but I had a really funny one that I had to do. And it required me to like literally put something in my mouth so that I could like sound like I was choking. And I had a callback for it. And the director was like, yeah, you really got me. It really sounded like you were choking. I'm like, great. This is 2020. This is amazing. Love it.
Oh my God.
It was actually so fun.
That's so great. That's so great. I mean,
I didn't book it, but it was really fun.
Right. Yeah. Oh Lord.
That's what matters.
Yeah. So not a lot of auditions, but the voiceover auditions more than on camera, which I'm grateful for because no one wants to see this right now.
I feel that. I feel like I am just like a pile of potatoes.
Yeah.
Like I definitely need to do something about it, but is it going to happen right now? Who knows?
It's like so much work. I'm doing, you know, cameos for anime fans and stuff. And anytime I need to do one, like it's prep, you know?
Yeah,
I
gotta
wash my hair and shave today just so I could do a video, but.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. And it's just so much. And it's just like the world is so uncertain right now that every time I think about like, oh, I need to work out. Oh, I need to eat better. I'm just like, oh, but do I? Like everything is just in the shitter.
I know.
Does that matter when the world is falling apart?
Maybe we're coming out of it. Maybe.
Maybe. I feel like we are. I feel very hopeful.
Yeah. Which is good.
Very hopeful. We'll see. We'll see. How can people follow you on social media?
I would say the easiest thing to do is follow me on Instagram at Brian Beacock. You can try at Brian Beacock on Twitter, but right now all you're going to see is political posts. So
Mine is flooded,
yeah, so
too.
Don't bother unless you're, you know, you're on the right side of history. But right. Instagram is really fun, and I always talk to people that reach out to me and love to communicate and have fun and all that stuff. So, you know, stop by and say hi for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. And I can't let this interview end without us talking about Acting Dead for a quick second.
Because
that was our show that we did a few years ago. Yeah. Super fun. Y'all should watch it. It's great.
It's great. It's really great. I've got amazing plans for season two, but I need amazing money.
And I need to lose some weight to fit back into those death pants.
God, right?
So let's take it.
We need to have an Acting Dead zombie boot camp for like 6 months prior to shooting, for sure.
That's honestly what would have to happen. I was so thin in that like I literally need to have a boot camp.
Well, just
I feel like I was very depressed at that time too, so I was just like not eating.
It was so crazy. What
probably not
it was
great.
A while, and it was this time of year. We filmed in October.
I was going through a breakup. Remember, I would be like sitting there trying to do a scene, and then all of a sudden tears would just start falling, and I wasn't even
hold
like,
for tears.
Trying
hold for tears.
Hold for tears. I'm just like, I'm not even doing this. It's just happening. It's just happening.
Yeah, but you were so fabulous. You were so fabulous in the show.
As you were, you. I mean, thanks. It was a great show, and Patrika won an Emmy for it. I mean,
actingdead.com. Super check
fun.
It out.
Go check it out, guys. Watch it. If you like it, reach out to us. thank you so much for coming on the show. I hope that you've been staying well, and I hope that you continue to stay well and stay healthy through
you
this.
Too. Thank you so much. This was really, really fun.
Thanks again to Brian for coming on the show. I don't know who's going to be on next week, because I'm just living day to day right now, but tune in next week because I'm sure somebody will be on, maybe. If not, it'll be like 20 minutes of me talking to myself, which would be kind of interesting. Make sure to subscribe wherever you're listening to the show now. You can also follow us on social media. Those links are in the show notes. And get out there and vote, guys. Voting's open in most states. I've already voted. My ballot was counted. I got the email from my county saying that it was counted and tracked and all that stuff. So get out there, get your voting on. Super important. And yeah, make sure to tell your friends, your family about the show. I'll see you next week. Thanks for coming in.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.